You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jason and Jamie. This is episode 292. And I want to continue on with the conversation we started last week, focusing on the Bible being God's inspired word. But today I've got a guest with me, the living expert on biblical counseling, Stephen Neely. Stephen was on our podcast back in episode 219, where he shared his personal testimony and how the Lord has both drawn him to himself and also led him to where he's at today. Of course, I'm joking about being an expert, but he is one who has made a study of the area we call biblical counseling, or nothetic counseling is another term used to describe. And what that basically is, in short, it is the direct application of God's word. You know, we recognize that God's word is the final authority for all life and godliness. At least we express that in terms of personal belief. And yet, how often do we actually apply it that way? And that's where I think the literal rubber meets the road, as the expression goes, in saying that if we recognize it is God's word, and of course the Bible, as we talked about last week, declares itself to be God's very word. For example, just in terms of reminder, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. Or the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1, where he says, "We did not follow cleverly derived tales when we made known to you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of the majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in him I am well pleased.' And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we made known to and made known with him, or when we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have this prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a light, a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made of an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit who spoke from God." And then, of course, then the challenge is, as he goes on, we're encouraged not to rebel against God. And so the question comes, how do we apply well, in a practical way, God's good word? So, Stephen, thanks for joining the podcast today. And pick it up there. How do you engage this topic? How do we actually begin thinking through applying God's word to our lives?
Yeah, well, first off, I just want to thank you for having me again. It's been a while since I've been on the podcast, and a lot has happened since then. Some of what you have said so far, you know, I've moved on to a new stage of life. I've come to the Master's University, but the Lord leading me here, and I've started my bachelor's in biblical counseling. So everything I'm going to say, and you made the joke that I'm a master, and you said that I'm not quite a master on biblical counseling. In fact, I'm not even done with my bachelor's degree yet. So some of this is coming out of a place of what I've learned so far, and I still have so much more to learn about biblical counseling and about scripture. But you really did put biblical counseling quite well, in that it's kind of a practical and private application of God's word, and it's typically problem-oriented, which is what my teacher here, Dr. Gifford, says about biblical counseling. And I think one of the key verses that we look at within biblical counseling in terms of application is Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, which says, to lay aside, in reference to your former conduct, the old man, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new man, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So what biblical counseling really focuses on is the kind of put-offs and put-ons. It's this idea that it's not good enough for the believer to say, I'm struggling with a sin, so I'm just going to stop being angry. So just stop being angry, and you put that off, would be the biblical counseling way of saying it. But by simply putting off anger, that's not good enough. Even if you just look down in Ephesians 4:31, it says, let all bitterness, anger, and wrath, and shouting, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. So that's the put off. But then, Paul says in verse 32, saying, instead be kind to one another, tender-hearted, graciously forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has graciously forgiven you. So, it's not enough to just put off sin. But you also have to put on righteousness. And so for anger, you would put off anger and put on gentleness or kindness. And in doing that, you are to renew your mind with scripture. Because how are we to know what we are to put off and then to put on if we're not in scripture? So biblical counseling has biblical in its name, because the goal is to counsel believers and how to overcome their sin. And the main idea is to look at Christ, and we see true transformation only coming through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because there's nothing that we can do by ourselves. And really focusing on the put-offs and put-ons and the renewal in a very broad sense of the term.
So to further drill down on that a little bit, in terms of practical steps, because let's take that example of the person who struggles with anger. We obviously recognize that there's no godliness in anger, right? James 1, 19 and 20 speaks to that, right? That literally no righteousness of God is found in our anger. I would even challenge the notion, a lot of people right now are going, whoa, but what about that righteous anger? That's a whole separate conversation we're not going to get into now, but we would argue that you're misinterpreting the text, to come away with this idea that there is such a thing as righteous anger, or to the degree that there is righteous anger, are we able to actually express it? And I think, you know, the biblical answer to that would be no. So to this person, and let's say this is in their life, a ongoing, to use the biblical term, besetting sin, right? From Hebrews chapter 12, we recognize that there is sins that are pretty easy for us to overcome in life. As we walk with the Lord and engage God's word. But then there's these other sins or sin areas that are much more substantial and much more difficult for us to throw off. So to that person, he's going, okay, Stephen, I see what you're saying, I think. But what does that actually look like in terms of wanting to directly apply? So where do I start in engaging God's word, and how do I work that through in sort of a process sense?
Yeah, so one of the trickier things in approaching a topic like this is that a lot of the times it is a lot more complicated than it seems on the outset. And so I can't be sitting here on this podcast and saying, if you struggle with anger, here's the 5 steps you need to take in order to overcome your anger. Because a lot of the times, anger comes out in different ways. In biblical counseling, we look at the concept of an idol quite a lot. And most of the times, sin occurs when you're worshiping an idol. So, I'm someone who does struggle with anger, and so you would look at a certain idol. Like, let's say I have an idol of control. So I desire to be in control all the time, and when that desire to be in control isn't met, then the fruit of that idol comes across as anger. So there's another concept that gets used, is it's called heat. So when you apply heat to a tea bag, it then releases its flavor. Because if you put a tea bag in cold water, it won't release as much, but you put it in boiling water and the flavor really comes out. And so when heat is applied to the person's heart, then out comes that anger. And we see this, this overflow of the heart concept in Luke 45. It says, "For his mouth speaks from the abundance of his heart." And there's this idea that if you have this sin in your heart, then it's going to overflow. If you have a heart filled with anger, then as soon as heat arises, then you're going to start being angry. And so one of the things to do is to identify what that idol is. And so I'd recommend talking to a discipler, a wise man, if you're a man in your life, or a wise woman, if you're a lady in your life, and kind of have them speak in your life and really try to discern, what do I worship? And we are created as worshiping beings. So we're going to, if we're not worshiping God, we're always worshiping something else. And so to get towards the practical side of this, now that I've just kind of talked for a while, is, like I said, we have to figure out what we're putting off. So that would be anger. And you brought up James 1:19-20, and that's a really good verse. It's actually one that I've been memorizing. And just, that's something you can do to be renewing your mind. So memorizing scripture. And so just the constant running in my own mind of, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. The anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. It's good to have, because I'm constantly reminded of when I'm tempted to be angry, when there's that heat in my life, that I'm feeling the urge to be angry, then the scripture pops in my head and it's like, no, be slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. But then that's not necessarily good enough to just say, well, this is what I shouldn't do. So that's when you can begin to pray and go through a lot of this stuff of asking the Lord, Lord, take this anger away from me, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And then, depending on the context, like let's say I'm playing a game and I'm tempted to be angry at my opponent because he did something really good and he got the best of me, to instead then use words of encouragement, say, hey man, that was a great job. That was a great shot. Or, you know, good job. That was an amazing move you just did. And so it's not just, I'm going to try my best to not be angry, but then dwelling on what scripture says about anger, which is that it doesn't achieve the righteousness of God, praying to God that I would no longer be angry and that he would help me to then be kind in return, and then say those kind words to that person who I'm tempted to sin against.
Yeah, that's good. I like that too, because that is not just practical wisdom, but it also incorporates like other biblical text as well, right? Because you're employing not just the particular charge or challenge from scripture as it relates to anger, but you're also doing what scripture commands us to do as well in terms of our thinking, right? That we're supposed to be, I'm thinking of like Philippians 4, right? Where we're called to think about whatever is, you know, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, right? And we're to dwell on these things that literally by meditating on these scriptures, by memorizing these scriptures, by focusing them in prayer, we're actually being obedient to more than one text of scripture, which I think is helpful, right? Because there is some integration as to when I struggle with sin, sometimes definitely, well, I think I would agree with you that almost always is born out of idolatry of some sort. But there's another side too, which is like oftentimes we struggle with sin because while we're trying to employ one part of Scripture, we ignore the literal commands that relate to it in other texts of Scripture, right? How we are to do these things. And I think that plays a role as well, at least from what I've seen. It's like, well, I'm trying to be obedient to the Lord by not actually being obedient to God's word. What would you say has been the most helpful for you in kind of rethinking through or thinking through God's word this way, right? Instead of just viewing it as this is good for me to know, this is information to take in, to, okay, I need to actually engage in a practical way. I need to actually view it. Because I think that is part of the struggle, right? Is some of it is this mental block. Like we so often view Scripture like we do a history book, that it's cool to know things, right? But to actually take it from that to, no, actually, this is literally applicable, and how do I change my thinking to where that becomes a natural part of my response is, no, this is literally instruction for actual life.
Yeah, I mean, I think you talked about it a little bit. It's just, Scripture becomes so much more vibrant when it's more than just a textbook. Whether it be a theological textbook or a historical textbook, you know, this is truly God's word to us. And it's so profitable. You know, you brought up 2 Timothy 3:16-17, and just saying that it's profitable for teaching, for proof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be equipped for every good work. And just saying that God himself gave us his word so that we might know about him, but that we might also live for him, and that it holds everything necessary for life and godliness. And that just gives Scripture so much, not some sort of mystical, deeper meaning, but it shows just how valuable it is. Understanding that memorizing Scripture is truly food for your soul. That it's so much more than just something you might do in the morning or at night just because that's something you grew up doing. But it really is, it's our bread. You know, we live off of the word of God. And just really coming to that conclusion and not just viewing it as something that I go to bed reading or I wake up in the morning reading, but that when I'm struggling with something, when there's a sin that's in my life that I have confessed or I need to confess, that I know that I can go to Scripture and see what God has given to me and how I can get out of and overcome this sin that I'm in. And we know that there is no temptation in common to man, but that God offers the escape for us, that we can overcome these sins that are in our lives. And just the tools that he's given us, whether it's, you know, the people around us, the fellow believers, that we can go to and confess our sins to one another, and that they can pray for us or go to Scripture and just be informed on how to overcome this sin. Like, how am I to overcome anger? Well, I'm to be kind to other people. I'm to value people more than I value myself. It's about humility and not being prideful and not valuing myself more than I ought to. And just coming to that conclusion has been just so valuable to my life, and it's really made me appreciate reading God's word more than I did before.
And you notice too, even in what you just said there, you were speaking multiple texts of Scripture, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's important, like, as we want people to rethink this, to recognize, you know, listen to what he had to say there and notice there were several, like, I mean, I noticed, obviously, you were speaking Philippians chapter 2, right, where we're to look out not only for our own interests, but also for the interest of others. I think to a degree, you referenced 1 John 1, where we are called to confess our sins, to be able to walk in the light, just as God is in the light, the result of that being we have fellowship with one another, and ultimately we receive freedom from sin, right? So that was in there. I'm sure there were some others as well that I didn't directly recognize or catch. But I think that's a good illustration, right? You weren't even trying to specifically show that, and yet still showing it, right? Which is, we are absolutely dependent on God's word at literally every level. And sometimes, let's say the wrestle with sin is idolatry in the form of, this is a desire that, let's say, is good, that God has given. And how does the Bible interact with that aspect of the wrestling with sin? Which is to say, like, you know, sometimes we wrestle with sin and it's like, this is straight idolatry. This is just straight sin. There's nothing good here. But other times it's like, at its core, we actually have a desire that's given by God, that we've turned into, you know, a form of worship instead of what God intends. So how do we engage, biblically speaking, that way as well? Like recognizing, okay, maybe this is a good desire given from God, but how do I understand that and engage that in a godly way?
Yeah, so this is a kind of an unbiblical terminology, but when you desire something too much, it's not a good thing. But when you eat too much of something, it's bad, right? Like, apples are good for you, but if you eat too many apples, you're going to get sick. So it's the same concept of, if you're worshiping something that's good for you, and that becomes an idol, then that becomes sinful, right? So a good desire is to know more about the Lord. But if that desire to know more about God then puffs you up with the knowledge that you have, and then you talk down to other people and are legalistic about that knowledge that you have, then all of a sudden that good desire to know the Lord more and to learn about him then quickly becomes an idol, and you begin worshiping your own knowledge and yourself instead of God.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. So we're running low on time here. We try and keep these episodes within a half hour. But I want to give you the opportunity. So let's take somebody that is a brand new concept for them. Like, they, you know, maybe read their Bible some, but they've never really tried to apply it directly to life or understood it this way. You know, maybe they've been looking at it specifically as a textbook, history book, you know, that kind of thing. How would you encourage that person to begin to engage this general concept and begin actively seeking to apply God's word to their life directly?
Yeah, I would recommend, especially if you're a newer believer, to not just do it on your own, because it's good to approach scripture with a good hermeneutic, to study it properly and to study it well. And if you don't necessarily know how to do that, then it's good to go to your pastor, to find a discipler, to go to a Bible study where you can sit under good teaching and understand the application of the word yourself. And there's other forms of just learning how to study your Bible. You can get a study Bible and look through the study Bible notes, or to get a commentary that has been recommended to you, because there are some commentaries that are more valuable than others. But ultimately, you just gotta take it back to the Word of God and you have to check in with your Bible just to see that, is this what the author meant when he was writing it? Because that can be tricky, especially for newer believers and even for some seasoned believers. When applying the scriptures, you don't want to take it out of context. You want to examine your scripture within context. And that's such an important thing to do, because scripture can easily be twisted when it should not be, and it should never be, because it's God's word. There is a correct interpretation of the scripture, and that's what the author's intent was. And so just to be careful in doing that, and to seek out others around you who are more wise, who know more than you, who are trusted believers, and go to them. And even listening to podcasts like this, you know, I trust you, Jamie, and I believe that I know what you're talking about. So this is a good place to go and seek some more application to hear some good stuff about this. And then if someone's interested in more biblical counseling stuff, one of my professors, Dr. Gifford, he has a podcast called the Transform Podcast. And he just has a ton of great practical things about biblical counseling. He talks a lot about, you know, whether it's relationships, marriage, how to listen better, how to deal with pornography, how to deal with just lust in general, how to deal with anger. He has all sorts of those types of things that really helps us to see the Bible, not just as a textbook, but how it can be applied to our own lives, but then doesn't suck your life out of the Bible and say that it's just a rule book and it just teaches us how to live. That it truly is the word of God.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'll definitely make sure to put the link to that podcast in the show notes. So if you're listening and you're curious, you want to check that out, look in the show notes. You'll be able to find the link there and go check it out. Obviously, we want you to do that. Like Stephen said, we want you to be able to engage God's word well. We fully believe that it is the literal word of God, the literal speech of God, the literal revelation of who God is to us and what God's good design is for relationship with him. And of course, for human flourishing, so that in the end, God gets all the glory, right? It's not about us. It's never been about us. It's all for God and to God. And in the end, if you want to flourish as a human in this world now, recognize that God's word is the ticket. I commented on this a little bit last week that, you know, the Bible makes very clear, if we are not seeking the wisdom of God, then we will be falling into human wisdom, and the result of human wisdom is always death. It's literally only one or the other. We can either fear the Lord and engage his word, or we're going to end up following human reason, and which is guided exclusively by the flesh, and we will end up in the destruction, not just of our souls, but our very lives and themselves. And that's a state we don't want to be in. And on the other side, we also want brothers and sisters in Christ who fully have embraced a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to move beyond sin and struggle and continue to grow more and more in their holiness as they seek after the Lord. And again, God's word is the ticket to doing that. And so we definitely encourage you, recognize this is God's word, and then seek to engage it and apply it to your life. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.